Hey, Chris Burns.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me. This is a highlight of my entire life, Steve. Welcome.
Oh, man. Well, then I hope to see you in the front row, yeah?
Absolutely going to see me in the VIP section. I don't know if I'll remember all of the concert, but I'll do my best.
Now you're in my league. I don't remember half what goes on up there either.
Well, it's part of the fun, is it not?
It is. You know, I believe you got to lose yourself to gain yourself. You got to kind of, you know, get free up there, and then the people feel the music a little bit better.
Just on all the time, this guy. I love it, Steven. I love it. So I got a couple questions for you, and if I could play a bit of audio, we got a bet going on, me and my boss. I don't think that something has ever happened. We'll get into that. It's a couple in here. What can someone expect with the Blue Army Tour?
Oh, man. Well, you're going to get your fill of whatever it is you love about Aerosmith times four. I mean, you know, people often ask a lot of times in Japan, you know, what can we expect this time? And, you know, we always have something up our sleeve. The other night we threw in Seasons of Wither and One Way Street and you know, off-the-cuff stuff. But, you know, this band is so all over the place and such a live band to go see. I know I've been a little let down sometimes when I go see my favorite bands from the 70s. You know, but man, when I look over and saw Joe Perry the other night, he was out of his mind. I mean, he's one of the last true rock stars. And Joey throwing a drum solo in the middle when he hasn't done one for 2 years, and just different things, and throwing in songs that we haven't played just to play Dare to Suck. you know, we just have a good old time up there, and you know, we always hope it transcends into the audience, and it's never failed us yet, so.
Well, that's what I was reading, that the Blue Army Tour are going to do some of the deeper cuts in that. Does that element and also maybe playing smaller markets like this one excite you guys as a band?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're playing some stuff on this tour where we never have, and trying to get back at, you know, all the folks that we meet along the way that says, you know, why haven't you come back to Iowa? Why haven't you played in, you know, Darcy, Maryland? Or why haven't you come back to where you used to play in the old days? And sometimes we're too busy playing the big places. Well, this tour is kind of, you know, it's sweet. We played the other night. It was, 6,000 people in a bowl in Santa Barbara. And it was just, I mean, I just remember looking out and the feeling I got from seeing all those people up close and personal. It's pretty good. It's like going back and doing clubs.
You have an iconic scream, obviously. How do you keep your voice? That's something that someone has, they're like, I have a question for Steve. How do you, what's the routine? Like a voice coach or tea, or what's the secret?
You know, I do have a regimen of warming up. You know, whenever I get in the shower, you know, I break the glass by screaming in there and gargle with razor blades. It's just, you know, I've got two voices. You know, one obviously the dream on scream, and the other, you know, just a full on voice. And I got a funny feeling it's the songs that my voice is wrapped around.
Yeah. It's you,
you know, and the joy of singing them and the thrill. And, you know, I can't tell you that any song is worn off. I still love to sing them. The band's playing so good right now. It's just when I get on stage with Aerosmith, it's like a thank you God moment. You know, when you see that girl and you go, oh, my goddess. It's kind of like that on stage.
Our morning guy, Cub Carson, he's a huge Aerosmith fan. He's actually pretty upset that he can't do this interview with you. Could you talk him back off the edge, off the ledge? Can you say hi to him?
Where is this guy?
He's our morning guy. He's at a doctor's appointment right now and had to miss this. Yeah. He's really upset.
What? Oh, all right. What's his name?
Cub Carson.
Oh, Cub Carson, man. Don't pick it. It'll only get infected.
So I got to play some audio for you if I could. We ran a contest to give away a pair of tickets to the show, and this is the audio of it. I have a bet with the boss that this has never happened in the history of Aerosmith, and I'll just give you a bit of a taste of it, okay?
Okay.
Tracy, if you win this hand, you're going to see Aerosmith. Are you fired up?
Oh, my God, so fired up.
Now, if you could sleep with anybody in the band, who would you sleep with? Stevie?
No.
Joe Perry? You like the lead guitarist, don't you?
Let's go for Brad.
Oh, Mr. Whit, that's the first time that's ever been said. Brad Whitford just woke up from a marijuana high going, somebody wants what? Unbelievable. Mr. Whitford's year was just made. All right, he'll be back on a solo tour. I hear there's a woman in Fort McMurray that wants to sleep with me. This is unbelievable.
That's never happened, right?
You know what? I've never heard that. That's beautiful. You know, not to say that there aren't, you know, thousands of women wanting to throw themselves at Brad's feet, but as far as the weed high, I don't think anybody smokes weed in the band. Well, maybe someone does.
Well, there we go. I heard that American Idol wasn't a passion product for you, just something to tide you over. You, even though you crushed it on TV, is there anything that could bring you back to television? Something that you see on there, or maybe something, you know, like not necessarily a reality show, but like Steven Tyler driven that would bring you back to television?
You know, that comment about American Idol was something that happened after I did it. You know, I simply said that before I took Idol, there was a lot of, you know, caca, would we say, going on in the band, which, you know, there's always a little something with a family that's been together for 40 plus years.
Yep.
And I took a break for a minute and told my manager, get me a side job, get me something. And when I took it, and as you can only imagine, sitting next to J-Lo and sitting and, you know, befriending Randy, and getting involved and hanging out with those people, it was beautiful. It was wonderful. It was something I'd never done before. And of course, the world, the rest is history. The world got a chance to see another side of, you know, the guy that's, you know, when I get on stage and play rock, I mean, there certainly is another side. You know, I've got three daughters and a son. And, you know, a lot of people think that I'm that crazy maniac all the time. Well, I'm not. And I'm really grateful that Idol gave me a chance to let people see me like that. And it ran its course. And would I do anything else? I don't know.
Nothing. So
I'm not sure.
No late night television aspirations or go up against Jimmy Fallon or anything?
Oh, you know, I'm always in for Kimmel or Fallon and all that stuff.
We have a country station that's a sister station in the same building. They're playing your new single. They're all pumped up for the Steven Tyler country album. I know that I heard that you're going to be doing that sort of after this tour, but how's the venture going?
Beautiful. I moved to Nashville in January, spent 4 months, and I wrote about 19 songs with a bunch of great folks. I've got a band down there called Loving Mary, with three beautiful girls. Rebecca Lynn Howard's in it, Sarah Tomek, drummer, Susie McNeil, Andrew McTaggart, and of course my dear friend Marty Fredrickson that I wrote Jaded with, and we produced a bunch of Aerosmith records. And I just have to go back next month and record for 2 months, and finish this stuff. But the video we did for Love Is Your Name just has been number one on iTunes for the last 4 days. So I'm over the moon with, you know, the country record hitting the charts big and going on tour with Aerosmith and being in Vancouver again, where we wrote, you know, so many great songs and did so many great albums, Love in an Elevator and just all that stuff was done at Little Mountain over here.
19 songs. Did it come easier writing the country stuff than it did for rock?
It was,
Was Nashville, know, like, did Nashville maybe have that big of an influence on you?
It did. It did. It was like, it's just nothing but music down there. You can pick up a guy hitchhiking that can, it's got more songs and can sing better than you, and he's like 21 and a waiter somewhere. It's like a mecca of music. I mean, everybody, you know, the thing is there's clubs where people that write songs sit in the round, and each one takes turns, and there's like five of them, and people go to the club and pay money to get in and listen to these folks play their stuff. And so the whole town is nothing but music. And, you know, of course, the other side is, I met with a bunch of great songwriters and sat down and wrote with them. And it was just a blast. I mean, being in a new place and, you know, I got a house down there and it's just beautiful. I can't tell you how musical that town is. It's just pouring over with music. And, you know, the way I look at it, you know, country's the new rock. And I hope to make it, I hope to be part of the people that make it that way, you know, put a little bit more guitar in maybe and get it swinging in that direction.
You definitely sound passionate about it just in the last couple answers there. So, yeah, you know, good on you. Good luck with all, not that you need any more luck or success. I mean, you're the hardest working guy in show business now that James Brown's gone. Got that going for you. Oh, just got one last question. It's sort of, I don't know what the love of Fort Wayne, Indiana is, but you know whenever you buy a car, all of a sudden you notice cars are all over the place of the same type? I saw the story that country, you were listening to a station from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Then a story popped up, you know, the Google algorithm that you helped bail out some kids from an Aerosmith concert in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Who thought that idea up?
You know, it's funny you should say that. I never put it together. When I was a real little kid, I ran a wire up a tree up in Sunapee, New Hampshire, late at night. I was like 9 or 10. And my father gave me a radio. I lived in a cabin out in the woods and ran the wire up in the tree. And the only thing I could pick up late at night was Fort Wayne, Indiana, the station called WoWo. But that might have been the place, yeah, where they busted about 40 kids, and they had them all handcuffed to a rail backstage. And I saw them and ran into the band, and I, you know, we talked about it for a minute, probably threw all our stuff down the toilet. and the band decided to bail the kids out. And so we went on stage, and, you know, because back then, you know, you want to do everything you can to piss the authorities off.
Absolutely.
So we did that and became famous for it in a matter of speaking. You know, whatever we can do to make rock and roll live and, you know, get a roar out of the crowd, it's kind of like what we live for.
I expect statues of Aerosmith to be up in Fort Wayne, Indiana with all the references to it, is all.
Yep. I'll be holding a Bible and Joel will be rolling a joint.